The grid that we have is basically a one-way communication system. The power flows to the end-use customers, whether they're residential or industrial or commercial, and the meters at the homes and businesses and industries send the signal or are read by the utilities to tell them how much power we've used. There's no way for us to communicate, the end-use customers, to communicate with the power company where it will affect the amount of power that we're using through the grid. The interstate grid, the long-distance transmission system, has less sensors and electronic monitoring than it should have. And that's why we sometimes have these blackouts, like the one we had about 6 years ago in August of 2003 that blacked out 50 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Had we had a smarter grid back then, had we had more sensors on the grid to tell us what's going on and what the power flow is like and where there's high levels and low levels or some danger points, we would not have had that blackout.
So in other words, the grid really has two things flowing on it. One is the power itself. And the other is information to know what's happening with that power.
Right, and there's less information than there should be. And at the distribution level, at the local neighborhood level, where those poles are that you talked about at the beginning of the show, there's really very little information flowing. It's only a one-way flow. What the smarter grid or the smart grid would do is make that flow of information two ways, so that we would know the exact usage of electricity that we're involved in at each hour of the day, at each moment of the day at home, and we could affect that by turning things off during high power price level periods during the middle of the afternoon, for instance. And in the summer, but if we don't know what we're using and we don't know what the flow is and we can't affect it by sending a signal, then that grid is pretty dumb.
Okay, so now aside from the technology involved, there seems to be a lot of policy and intergovernmental issues involved here. The Obama administration has clearly stated it wants a smart or enlightened grid to be part of the national infrastructure. But yet a lot of the grid is in private hands, and it's a lot of the oversight of the grid is by local and statewide utility commissions such as yours. So what are the respective roles here, do you think, for the federal government and for state government?
Well, a lot of the states have undertaken programs and put in place policies to reduce the carbon footprint, I would say maybe 35 out of the 50 states. So there's an incentive there because you can't really affect the way people use electricity unless there's more information flowing, and unless there frankly are devices in homes for instance, there's a device now you can plug in between your refrigerator and the wall that will tell you how much power you're using with that appliance and help you decide whether you need A, a new appliance, or B, whether you can turn the controls down and use less power. So there are incentives. State commissions are empowered with fulfilling those goals of carbon reduction. In New Jersey, for instance, has under Governor Corzine, has instituted a statewide energy master plan that has certain goals for reduction of demand, for reduction of usage, for reduction of carbon footprint. So there are lots of incentives out there.
And I imagine a lot of utilities will be looking to the federal government maybe for grants on installing some of the technologies.
That's part of the incentive, the stimulus package. There are grants for utilities to do that. So that's their incentive. I mean, they frankly don't have an incentive to sell less power, but we're working on the way power is priced and the way companies recoup their costs and make their allowed profit to help them be more comfortable with being energy conservation agents as well.
We're talking with Frederick Butler. He is president of the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners and also commissioner with the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. And so what about among states? Because, you know, in a local area, a grid might do more than it can when it's interoperating with a nearby or adjacent grid. I know, like Pepco, which feeds my house, a couple of years ago came and put some little gray box on my hot water heater, and on my air conditioner outside, you know, the part that's outside. And it has something to do with when and how this operates and gets me lower rates. But that's only within Pepco. And I think isn't part of the smart grid big idea getting the nation to operate as one big virtual grid?
Well, there's actually three sections to the national grid. There's the Eastern Interconnection, which runs basically from the Great Plains through the East Coast. Then there's Texas, which has its own separate grid, and then there's the Western Interconnection, which is the rest of the country. Those three, there's a long-term goal to try to get them to work together. The West is more or less integrated already just because of the way those states operate with each other. Texas, of course, is one state, so they're easily integrated. The Eastern Interconnection is going to be harder to integrate, but there's a planning process now among the 40-some-odd states that are involved in that interconnection. Interoperability means more than simply the way that the companies and operate within between each other. Interoperability also means how the system is going to be set up so that it does not need to be replaced, a full replacement of a system, so that there's interoperability among the components of the system as well. The states and the federal government are working closely together with NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and the FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to set some standards here for this for the smarter grid, the smart grid.
Well, it sounds like a big job and a fascinating one, but it sounds like we've got a long way to go. Will this take a year or will it take 10 years?
It will take a number of years. Some utilities are more active in this than others. One thing we haven't talked about yet is that you need smart rates. You can't have a smart grid and dumb rates. The rates right now are pretty dumb in that in most mm-hmm. parts of the country, you pay the same amount for a kilowatt hour of electricity in the middle of the day in August as you do in the middle of the night in February, and they cost vastly different prices to produce and deliver, probably two or three or five times more at the peak periods in the heat of an August day.
And that would certainly get consumers interested in this whole thing, too.
Oh, yeah, because if you do nothing, if smart rates or variable time rates, in other words, rates that vary throughout the times of the day are put in place, and you did nothing to affect your usage, your bill could conceivably go up and could go up substantially. But if you did adjust to the ways you used electricity, for instance, turning off your computer when you leave to go out during the day, or turning down your thermostats, having a thermostat that varies the temperature during the day, you could actually have your bill go down. No matter what the rates happen to float up to. And the rates are floating upwards. There's no question about that. We've got pressure on fuel costs. We've got pressures to reduce carbon emissions because the cheapest electricity produced is from coal, and that has a huge carbon footprint.